Father, we want to thank you for the life of your Son that was poured out for us at that cross. Lord, we want to thank you for the hope and the healing that you have brought and we can receive because of your life that was laid down for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how far its sight stretched today, but midday above our house, a little private aircraft created three symbols in the sky, and it simply was a cross equals love, a heart. Did you see that? It was incredible. And my daughter thought it was a sign from the Lord, but I heard the plane whizzing around. But so often, I think, we find that and feel that love is something that just happens rather than something that we actually have to make happen. And real love is something that makes things happen. It often hurts because it costs us something to risk that love. And although we didn't understand it, and the people of the time didn't understand it, in facing the cross, Jesus was choosing to make something happen for us. And at the cross, Jesus would undeservedly take death's best blow. Not for himself, but for us. And at the cross, Christ endured the ultimate punishment for us, dealing on our behalf something before God that we could not deal with ourselves. And that was untangling us from a sinful state that destroyed our very union with God. At the cross, Jesus had become a perfect sacrifice for us. We've been thinking and singing songs and hearing from some of the passages today about this perfect sacrifice of Jesus' life laid down for us. And in this couple of moments, Bobby and I would just like to remind us tonight of why Jesus' sacrifice is so perfect and so powerful for us on this Good Friday evening. Bobby, could you come and share?
Tim's asked me to share a couple of revelations about a month ago now. I just started reading and rereading again of the crucifixion, and particularly the Last Supper, the Passover feast that Jesus celebrated with his disciples before the cross. And then I took it back to Exodus, which is, of course, is what they were celebrating. And when he shared the Passover meal, it was on the night before he was betrayed, the night he was betrayed. And they were remembering the night that God brought them out of slavery in Egypt. The night they sacrificed the lamb, placed the blood over their doorposts and lintels that the angel of death would pass over them. And that was a type, a shadow, a prophetic act. God did then a small part of what he was going to do through Christ's death and resurrection. And in Exodus 12 we read, "Then they shall eat the flesh of the lamb on that night, roasted in the fire. You shall let none of it remain until morning. Thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover." As I read this, I saw that their Passover lamb was their sustenance for the journey ahead. So now, when I take the bread, This is not just in remembrance of what Christ did for me, precious as that is. It's also my spiritual sustenance for the journey ahead. And when I come to communion these days, I take it with an attitude of readiness. Because what Christ did 2,000 years ago has to affect us today. It has to be part of our lives today. And then also, in Exodus 12, 21 to 23, we read, "Then Moses said to them, 'Pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of the house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and the doorpost, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your house to strike you.'" So now, when I take the wine for communion, in remembrance of what Christ did, I also name each one of our children. I bring them in under the cover of the blood of Jesus, under that protection, not as a ritual, but as an act of faith. So for me now, there are various other things that the Lord's shown me as well, but for me now, when I take communion, it's something which is living in me. It makes a difference to me. And that's what we want for each one of us.
Bobby, thank you. So as we come to communion tonight, we're reminded of the symbolism that this, the Easter celebration and the death of Christ, was in the very ceremony and time of Passover that spoke of freedom, that spoke of coming out of captivity into life. And as we take the bread and the wine tonight, we remember that the bread, just as that meal was the meal that sustained the Israelites in their journey out of captivity and into freedom, that God has got a sustenance for us tonight in our world, right here, right now, to keep on going. And we can draw from him tonight. But not only did Jesus do something to affect us now, he was doing something as a Passover substitute sacrifice for us at the cross that was to do with our standing with our heavenly dad, with the most holy God. And in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5, just earlier before the references that Bobby has mentioned, God said to them to find a lamb or a goat that was without blemish, that was perfect, that had no broken bone or nothing out of place, because this would be the sacrifice that would be presented to before the high priest when it came into the system. And tonight we're reminded that as the priest received this perfect sacrificial lamb, for them to be forgiven and justified and enabled to come before a holy God, it wasn't the high priest did not look at the shabbiness or the unworthiness of the sinner, of the worshipper, but they were looking at the perfection of the unblemished sacrifice. And I just want to say tonight, if you're wondering about how we are standing before God tonight, am I able to come before him? He is not looking at the dirty rags that we have. He's looking at that perfect sacrifice that was our substitute before the Heavenly Father to make us acceptable before him. And so Christ did something between us and God to make us acceptable to him. Not on the basis of something I've done, but on the basis of what Christ did for me at the cross. And that means that we can come boldly before God tonight. And Hebrews 10 in verse 11 to 14 reminds us that under the old covenant, the priest stands to minister before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest, that's Jesus, offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good and for all time. When he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand, there he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. After Jesus made that final sacrifice, he sat down and rested. He did not need to make any more sacrifices because he had dealt with sin. And he has dealt with it on our behalf before our Heavenly Father. And we do not continue to make sacrifices because Jesus has done it. And I want to remind us tonight that God sustains us out of captivity into freedom through what Christ did at the cross. He is the one who makes us acceptable before our Father tonight. And he has sat down. There's nothing more he can do to make us more acceptable to God. We are justified just as if we have never sinned. We have been forgiven at the cross. May we come and celebrate with thankfulness and gratitude as worshippers before God tonight.